prayers for Pastor Kevin, Phelan, and Pastor Daryl over this weekend. A real deposit of God has been really left within the church there in St. Albans, and our hearts and biggest best, some people from biggest best that were there at the conference. But we're really praying and believing God is going to deposit something here, especially uniquely here for biggest best. This is what God has called into being, the church here, the campus here, and we know God's got good things ahead. And we're just really blessed that Pastor Kevin and Pastor Daryl have come and been ministering to us. We're so grateful. We're really, really so grateful for all that you've done and all that you've been part of, but also who you are. And to me, who are we going to get? I'm more interested in the people that really what I've heard about them or what they do with it. It's the quality of their life, and we really see that and really appreciate what just comes flowing through you like, whatever flows incredibly fast. And we just really praise God for that. But they've been in ministry for longer than they might want to admit, I don't know, but very powerful and travelling around the world. They're often just a few weeks are off to, is it Geneva, I think, isn't it? And travelling all around the world and around this nation and really impacting people's lives and impacting churches. And we really praise God for who you are and all that you've done. So let's put our hands together and bless. Great to be with you. This is a great church.
Amen.
That was pathetic. I said, this is a great church.
Amen.
So, the thing is, if you don't believe it, nobody else can believe it. You do understand that, don't you? Do I need this afternoon on your recording?
No, it's all right. Get rid of it if you want.
I don't know. I think you can hear me without, can you? Or do you want me to keep it?
My better keep it.
Better keep it. All right, we'll keep with it. That's all right. Yeah. Thank you, Pastor Chris, for inviting us. We've certainly enjoyed the time here and just appreciated getting to know a few people and just having the privilege of sharing the Word of God with you. And it's great. I want to congratulate you on planting here in Diggers West, too, you know. Coming and doing that for the and just to, you know, put a stake in the ground, amen. And it's very strategic because I'm sure you're aware that there's a lot of growth going on in the area, a lot of people moving in. And my encouragement to you would be to, you know, keep a focus on the unchurched, amen. Just go after souls, go after, you know, people that don't know the Lord and just really believe God to enable you to bring in a great harvest. What I want to share with you this afternoon, I've kind of wrestled with where I should share this and when, because I feel like it really is the word that I carry for your church, to be honest. And you know, all weekend I've been kind of wanting to get to this point because I feel like it's really a prophetic word for the church. And so it's not just here in Diggers Rest, but it's, I believe, for the church in St. Albans and, you know, for Grown Church, a full stop. And so I want to take your attention to, you know, Genesis 28, where we read the account of Jacob, and he's basically running from his brother Esau. Actually, before I go any further, the guy that was on the drums this morning, and you're up here, you're looking at me now, right at the back there. You know, there is something about the integrity of your heart towards the things of God that's very precious in the sight of God. And I appreciated your drumming this morning. I said to Daryl, I said, you're good drumming. You got it together. Technically, it's great. But the thing I felt the Lord say to me, there is a call of God on your life. And, you know, the day is coming where you're a man of the Word and a man of the Spirit. See? And there's a preaching gift on your life. Now, I don't know what your plans for the future are, but I know something about God's plans for you. And if there will come a time where the call of God begins to focus on your life in an increasing measure. And I want to just encourage you to pursue God because you're in for a ride. The ride of your life. The ride of your life. And don't get distracted with what everybody else is doing. You listen to what God's got to say to you. And so Jacob is on the run from his brother, basically. And he comes to this place where at the end of the day's journey, he's looking for somewhere to sleep. And he just crashes in this place. There's nothing significant about it. There's nothing in there. In fact, it says that he took a rock and used that as a pillow. How many know you've got to be pretty hard-headed to go to sleep on a rock, you know? And he's going to sleep on a rock. And he is asleep, and he has this vision. He has a God encounter, and he wakes from it. He sees the angels of God ascending and descending over this place, and he wakes out of this vision, and he says, this is an awesome place. I never realized it, but God's here, see. And he called it Bethel, which means house of God. He said, this is the doorway of heaven. This is the gateway of heaven. And he realized he's in this place. And you see, it's always been God's intention for heaven to invade and change the atmosphere of earth. That's always been his intention. That's what the Garden of Eden was about. Garden of Eden was a bit of heaven on earth. And so God says to Adam and Eve, I want you to be fruitful and multiply and spread throughout the earth. So in other words, what he's saying is, I want you to take the atmosphere of heaven. I want you to take the resources of heaven that you're enjoying now within the parameters of this garden, and I want you to spread that throughout the earth. Because how many know outside of the garden, the earth, the whole of creation, had become distorted, polluted, as a consequence of Satan being cast out of heaven. And we know that the serpent was in the earth because it came into the garden, right? So he was there. So when he talks about you begin to fill the earth and submit and bring into submission and take authority over, take dominion. He's talking about taking dominion over the whole area outside of the gardens. So the idea for Adam and Eve, God's idea, his ideal for them, was that they would multiply and that through their generations they would fill the whole earth with the atmosphere of heaven. They would be carrying the presence of God as it was in the garden and seeing that release right throughout the earth. And of course, they failed. And then later through Abraham, God raised up Israel to be a testimony of the nation, and they failed. And then Jesus came. Amen. Aren't you glad Jesus came?
Amen.
And he came, and see, it's always about changing spiritual atmospheres. And so wherever Jesus went, the atmosphere shifted. Because he came to reveal the Father and reveal the Father's realm. And so he ushered heaven in wherever he went. That's why wherever he went, the demons would start to manifest and scream because the presence of God came. You know, darkness can't dwell in the midst of light. And so as he brings the atmosphere of heaven into place, then the darkness has to flee and all of that kind of thing, revealing the Father. And now, of course, the church is the house of God. And so we, how many know the church is not the building? You are the church. I mean, turn to somebody and say, he's talking to you. You are the church. So you, in a very real sense, you individually, each of us individually, are Bethel. We are the house of God. How many know God lives in you? Come on. And so you are the gateway to heaven. So in other words, people should encounter the presence of God, the atmosphere of heaven, whenever they encounter you, amen. Whenever they come into the corporate gathering, there should be that overwhelming sense of heaven and earth, the presence of God, the Father's here, the power of God's here, the resources of heaven are here, amen. That's what the church is meant to do, so that we continue the ministry of Jesus. That's why he said, if you believe in me, the works that I do, you will do also. And so that's what it's all about. And so in Scripture, you and I are called, individually, we're called citizens of heaven. But more than that, you're called an ambassador of heaven, an ambassador of the kingdom of God. And so an ambassador, when they are sent as an ambassador to another country, all the resources and authority and whatever of that country that they're representing is backing them up and is behind them as they go into this other country. And of course, ambassadors live in an embassy. Now, if you were to go to the embassy of Australia in China, and what would happen if you walk across the boundary of the property that houses the embassy of Australia, you're in the middle of China, but as you step over that boundary, you're now in Australia. It's Australian territory. And so when you walk into the embassy, everything about the culture, about the norms of Australian life is in the embassy. The way they go about everything is according to the Australian way. You might be in the middle of China, but now you're in Australia because you stepped into the embassy. So when people step into the embassy of heaven on the earth, the church, they should encounter all of the norms, all of the atmosphere, all of the culture, all of the resources of heaven. Come on, somebody. That's what church is. And when you walk, see, your accent identifies where you come from, identifies your country. So you can tell where somebody comes from by the accent, the way they speak. So when people meet you and I, when they come into the church, the overriding accent should be the sound of heaven. So it's the voice of faith, it's the voice of praise, it's the voice of the power of God, it's the voice of expectation and anticipation of God doing some great things. Because that's the voice of heaven, isn't it? That's the language of heaven. Come on, talk to me. I know you're going to sleep, some of you. You had too much lunch or whatever, and it's warm in here. Come on. And you've got to work with me. I said to the church this morning, you've got to help the preacher. You know, you've got to encourage the preacher. Amen. Otherwise, I might go to sleep too.
Yeah.
And so you and I are empowered to fully represent heaven on the earth. I mean, that's an amazing thing, isn't it? That's our privilege. That's our calling. That's what the church is about. And so that, like Jesus, we're both teaching and doing. So it's not just about teaching and preaching and doctrine and truth. It's about the works of Jesus continuing. That's why people get healed. See? We shouldn't be surprised that people get healed. We shouldn't be surprised at miracles. That's a normal part of what Christian life is about. How many of Jesus said that believers lay hands on the sick and they recover? So how all the believers, amen, talking about you. You lay hands on the sick, they recover. See, you cast out demons in the name of Jesus. Every believer, come on. It's not the special preacher, some special occasion. No, that's the atmosphere of heaven. That's what heaven's like. Everywhere Jesus went, darkness is repelled. People are set free. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me to proclaim good news to people, but to heal the brokenhearted, to open blind eyes, to set captives free, and to usher in the season of the year of God, of Jubilee, or the year of favor, the season, the day of grace, to usher that in. So that people realize it's no longer about you trying to repress God and live your life well and do all this sort of stuff and live under the law, but you're now under grace and the favor of God is upon you. And if you would just believe in Jesus Christ as the Son of God who died and rose again for you, you are ushered into the family of God. Come on. And now the presence of God is on you, in you, flowing through you. And so you become Bethel. You become the gateway of heaven.
Amen.
And see, he's given us authority when he rose. See, Jesus received a name because he earned the name. He paid the price for the name. When he ascended, he didn't just rise, you know, overcome death. The Bible tells us he rose through every rank and authority and name that could be named in this age and in the age to come. So that he really is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, because he defeated every authority, every power, every opposing influence and force was broken when he rose and ascended and was glorified and received a name, so he could say, all power in heaven and earth, all authority in heaven and earth is given unto me. Now I'm passing it on to you, and now you can go in my name. Come on. So now you've got the badge of authority. See, just like the policeman's got the badge of authority. But not only that, He said to the early disciples, I want you to stay in Jerusalem until you receive power. Because you receive power after the Holy Spirit come upon you. So now you've got the authority of His name and you've got the power of the Holy Spirit to back it up. So baby, you've got everything you need to shape the world. Amen. Come on now. And I believe that God is releasing an anointing for miracles in this place. That's what I believe. In your church, I believe. And I believe that this whole thing of your 30 days of prayer and fasting is God's going to bring some breakthrough in the whole spiritual atmosphere. See? Because that's what life is about. That's what you and I are called to do, is change spiritual atmosphere. See? So that people come, when they come in, they come under a different atmosphere. And so they come under the conviction of sin. They come under the revelation of Jesus Christ as their Savior and Lord. They come into the place where they're going to be set free, where their sicknesses and diseases are healed, where God intervenes in the circumstances of their life and meets every need and all of that kind of thing. Amen, somebody. Come on. And that's what church is. And so there are a couple of specific scriptures that I want to share with you that are really important right now. And one is 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9 and 10. And it says, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love Him. It goes on to say that God has revealed them to us through His Spirit. So how many here love God this afternoon? How many love the Lord? Okay, so let me tell you what that means. It's talking about here and now. He has prepared things for you that your eye has never seen, your ear has never heard, it's never even entered into your imagination, but God has already prepared for you to walk in those things, see, to bring glory to His name. So He's positioning you. He's wanting you to get a hold of things by His Spirit that are beyond anything you've ever seen or heard or even imagined. Come on, somebody. So we're not talking about praying for more of what we've had. We're not talking about going to another level of what we've already experienced. We're talking about stepping into a different realm of the things of the Spirit, where the things that we've never seen and never heard, that have never entered into our heart, begin to be unfolded by the purposes and power of God. Amen.
Amen.
If you stop and think about this, that if His thoughts and ways are higher than our thoughts and ways, then it means the true revelation of what God intends to you for you will be above and beyond your thoughts and your ways. So the things that God has prepared for this church will be beyond anything you've ever thought of, anything you've seen, anything you've ever heard about. Come on. Don't look at me like that. It's in the book. That's what He's saying. No, I've prepared things for you to walk in these things that are beyond whatever your past experience or understand. I want to take you through another well-known scripture in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20. This afternoon, it's not really my intention to preach some, well-structured sermon. I just want to throw out some thoughts to you that I believe are prophetic for you about your life, your church, and the season that you're entering. Now, you would know, I'm sure most of you would know Ephesians 3:20, that says, now to Him who's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that's at work within us. But I want to read it to you from the Amplified, and I want you just to listen up for a minute and get this. If you can get this, it's really important. It says, now to Him who as a consequence of the action of His power that's at work within us. So I want to stop right there. How do you know that the power of God is at work within you individually and among us corporately? Amen. The power of His Spirit. So this verse is saying, as a consequence of the working of His power within us and among us, see? And He goes on to say, as a consequence of that, He is able to carry out His purposes and do superabundantly, far above all that we dare ask or think, infinitely beyond our highest prayers, desires, thoughts, hopes, or dreams. So what it's saying is because of his power that's at work within us, God is able to and will fulfill his purpose. But he's going to fulfill his purpose at a dimension far above anything you would even dare think or ask or dream about. Come on. It's connected to your thinking and asking, but it's far above it all, see. How many know that's pretty amazing promise, isn't it, like that? Pretty amazing prophecy right there, see. The American Standard Version talks about being abundantly beyond. See, God is the God of beyond. He's beyond comprehension. He's beyond limitation. He's beyond restriction. He's beyond whatever box you want to put him in. He's going to bust out of it because he's beyond that. See? And I can prophesy to you now that God wants to take you as a church into a season that's far beyond anything you've ever experienced before, anything you've ever seen or heard, or anything that's entered into your heart. But he wants to position you. See, this message this afternoon is about positioning you in faith to receive revelation that'll take you where you've never been. Because see, if you don't position yourself, you don't get the revelation. It's like God says to John on the Isle of Patmos, come up here, let me show you. He says, I got things above that you've ever seen before, and you need to come up into the realm of the Spirit and begin to catch a hold of what I'm wanting to do. See, it's like I said to people yesterday, everybody likes change until it affects them. You know, until it touches something, you know, we all like certain paradigms and structures around our life, makes us feel secure, makes us feel comfortable. And sometimes when God comes, he wants to kill a few holy cows, you know, shift a few things, and we all go, amen, we want change, but we don't want change that affects me. And so sometimes you've got to just kind of realize God wants to take you where you've never been. And that may be uncomfortable. Maybe he's going to rock the boat a bit. Maybe he's going to have to relay some foundations. And in order to do that, he's got to dig up some old foundations, you know, and begin to build things. I have, over quite a few years, pondered the superlatives in this verse because they don't make much sense. If you think about this, he's saying exceedingly abundantly beyond. Now, what does that mean? Exceedingly abundantly beyond. It's not really very good English, is it? I mean, it is, but it's kind of like crazy. What the heck does that look like? In fact, let me tell you what the actual original language actually means there. It means superabundantly above the greatest abundance. That's easy now. You know what it means, don't you? Superabundantly above the greatest abundance. So I want you to think about that. See, he said, I'm going to fulfill my purpose in and through you. In and through this church in Diggers Rest, in and through this church in St. Albans, I'm going to fulfill my purpose in you superabundantly above the greatest abundance you can think of. Superabundantly above the greatest abundance that you would dare even ask or think. How do we know that's crazy? Come on, somebody. No. He wants to take us into another realm. See, take it way beyond. Super. So you think about it. Okay, what does that look like? What is the greatest abundance you can think in terms of your relationships? Your family? Way beyond that. Super abundantly above that. What about in your health? No. Super abundantly above that. What about in your finance? No. Super abundantly above the greatest abundance you can think of. Come on, somebody, you can get happy now. Amen. He says, my power is at work among you to bring about my purposes in such a way that it is so radical, it's going to bring glory to my name. People stand back and go, wow, look at what's happening there. Come on, man. And it's linked. It's actually, what it's linked to there is not what we could ask or think, but what we actually are asking or thinking. Because, see, your asking and thinking is representative of your faith, of your expectations. And so while it's way above what we ask or think, it is actually linked to our thinking and asking. So what you What we need to do is start thinking and asking abundantly above where we've ever been before. Amen. So what is your expectation for the church of Deacon's Rest? I mean, really, why, what is it? I mean, honestly, you know, I know in a meeting like this, everybody go, oh, it's millions of people. No, no, but I mean, what's really in your heart? Because what are you thinking, and what are you praying, and what are you asking for? For the church in St. Albans, what is your picture of the future of that? What does that look like to you 5 years, 10 years from now? You see, we need to begin to open up. If we believe what the Word of God says, then He's got things prepared for us to walk in that you've not yet seen or heard or even imagined. How do we know when we've got to kind of start lifting our vision, lifting our faith, lifting our expectation? And as you would remember a few months ago, that there was this guy that drove down Burke Street Mall and killed, I think it was a total of 7 people died as a consequence, and a number of others injured. One of the young ladies that was injured was a high school student that came from a Buddhist family, and she was taken into hospital with major head trauma. And so she was placed in a coma. And after, I think, somewhere around 3 weeks or so in the coma, the medical people were saying to the parents, we need to turn off her life support system because there's now no sign of any brain function at all. And what we didn't know, and nobody knew, that the church leadership, our home church leadership weren't aware of it, but there were 2 friends of hers that come to the church that are high school girls, and they were saying to the mother, do not let them turn off the life support system because we're praying that God's going to do something. How many know that takes a lot of courage, right? Yeah. A lot of guts. Somebody's thinking beyond. Believing beyond. And so for something like 10 days, I think it was something like this, around 10 days, that the medical people are saying to the parents, we need to turn off the life support. She's brain dead. There's no brain function that we can find. And these girls were continually saying to the parents, no, don't let them turn it off. We're praying God's going to do something. I love it. You know, this wasn't coming from, you know, church leadership or some. It's just a couple of girls that go to school and believe God. That's all. Just that simple. So they just believe God. And so after this period of time, week, 10 days, whatever it was, the medical people say to the parents, we don't know what's happening, but we can detect some brain function again. A week later, she's sitting up in bed eating her meals with no sign of brain damage whatsoever. No brain damage whatsoever. And she, I don't know where her recovery's at now, but she was badly knocked around, so I guess she was in rehab to learn to walk again or whatever was necessary. And you know, I just love that because, see, you're talking about ordinary people. They just believe in an extraordinary God. They've got the courage to stand on His Word, stand on His promises, and begin to believe in it. And see, I believe that's where the zone that we should all be living in. Come on. Not the preacher, not the elders, not the pastor, not the... No, no, everybody. Everybody in that place where they begin to understand that God wants to do some stuff that we've never seen before, never heard, never entered in our heart, but we're going to begin to believe God to outwork His promises in our midst in a way that's absolutely extraordinary. And, you know, there are no limits. There are no limits. And see, the problem is that so often we're focused on what we've already seen and already heard. Our prayer life is focused on more of what we've already got. But I believe God wants to lift your vision over these next 30 days. So you're not just praying about more of what you've got, more of what you've seen, more of what you've experienced, but we begin to open ourselves up to the fulfillment of the promises that we've just talked about this afternoon and begin to believe God to take us into another whole different realm of the release of His power and His presence in heaven, in invading earth, in a really powerful way. And so often I think we just sell ourselves short, you know, because of the ease of life, comfort becomes a priority, lifestyle becomes a priority. And I think sometimes God wants to get us by the shoulders, give us a bit of a shake and say, come on, wake up, you guys, there's so much more. I've got so much more for you to see. And I just feel like that's where you're at as a church. And I just believe in that God is wanting to bring some great breakthroughs into people's lives over this next month as you begin to seek Him as a church. I really believe that. And breakthroughs in your midst as a church. I feel like you're at the cusp of a whole different season, Pastor. I really believe that. You know, you get what you go after. And I just feel like it's time for you guys to really be going after souls and believing God for souls and going after the power of God. You know, don't quit. It's like the sister that was sharing before about her shoulder, you know, when she came out and we started ministering to her. She could get healed instantly. I don't know how long, you know, I've prayed for you a couple of times, ministered you a couple of times, my wife ministered you a couple of times, and you were standing out there for quite a while, maybe 20 minutes or something, I don't know, 15, 20 minutes of ministering to other people, come back, whatever. And sometimes we just don't persist. We just do not push through. And there's opposition. John Wimber, I don't know how many ever heard John Wimber, he's the guy that founded the Vineyard Movement. He was a Church of Christ pastor in the U.S. And in the Church of Christ, at that time, they didn't believe in divine healing being for today. They were cessationists, so they believed that all that stuff finished. No miracles, no healing, no power of God. So, but God began to speak to him. And he felt the Lord saying, I want you to start teaching your church. Every Sunday morning, I want you to start preaching on divine healing and pray for the sick. And so he began to preach every Sunday morning, and at the end of his preaching, he and the elders would pray for the sick, minister to the sick every Sunday morning, and he did that every Sunday for 11 months, and not one person got healed. Not one! I don't know about you, Pastor, but I pastored a church. I don't think I'd have the guts to do that. I mean, that's courageous. I think I'd preach for maybe a month or 6 weeks, and then I'd go... You know, and how would you like to be in a congregation? You're driving the church after 6 months, and you're driving the church. You go, man, I hope he's not preaching on healing again. You know, 11 months, every Sunday. How would you feel as one of the elders where the pastor's going, okay, now we're going to pray for the sick? There we go. After 11 months, he gets a phone call on a Wednesday, I think it was, in the middle of the week, gets a phone call. There's a woman crippled up in bed, can't get out of bed, being like that. She's desperately ill, terminal. Would you come and pray? So he and one of the elders go around to pray, and he goes in and they minister to this woman. Nothing happens. So he turns around to the husband, and he's explaining why sometimes it doesn't work. You know, like we prayed and well, you know, God's God, and maybe, and you know, and while he's making excuses for God, this woman's getting out of bed and getting up and going, do you want a cup of tea? You know, she kind of literally got healed on the spot while he's making excuses about why it doesn't work. But see, immediately they were catapulted into a worldwide miracle healing ministry that launched the Vineyard Movement. So why did it take 11 months? How do we know the devil doesn't want somebody rampaging around the planet, taking people out of wheelchairs and the power of God and thousands of people committing their lives to Christ and churches being planted? So you've got to fight through, whether it's on an individual or corporate basis. And I just feel like you've got to break out your limitations and your mindsets. Just position yourself. Just say, God, whatever. I mean, wouldn't that be amazing? You know, imagine God doing stuff that's beyond the craziest testimony you've ever heard. The most outrageous miracle. I was saying to, I prayed, ministered to a young guy this morning, and I said, you know, when we started doing miracle services years ago in the church with Pastor in New Auckland, one of the greatest things I ever saw was a girl that was born without an ankle joint, without a foot on one leg, and in 2 days she grew an ankle joint and a foot. 2 days she grew it. Now tell me what God can't do. Let me tell you what I said to you. The guy down here in Westside, we were doing miracle services every now and again. This guy, there's people come in, and some woman came flown in from Adelaide with cancerous lumps in their breast, and they just disappeared on the spot. And we had this guy came out that morning, and a growth in his throat. Visitor, come for healing. And I just happened to minister. We had a team of people ministering. I just happened to minister to it. At the end of the service, there's a commotion down the back of the auditorium, and I'm wondering what's going on. And this guy had gone outside, and he coughed the growth out, and he's got it in a tissue, and he's wandering around showing everybody the growth. I mean, I reckon that'd be pretty cool here, a bit of that. Yeah. A bit of that here. How do you know that's going to shake Digger's Rest up a little bit? You know, you get some cripple walking down the road pushing their wheelchair on. Come on. Come on. You get somebody that's just all bent and twisted and bound up with demons and drugs and whatever else, and they're set free, and suddenly they're normal, and suddenly they've got a job, and suddenly that's our God. There's see heaven coming to earth. And really, I just want to plant that in your heart this afternoon, because I really believe that's what God wants for you as a church. Heaven in the earth, see. Not just routine, not just church same-o, you know, but really beginning to believe God and pray it in and pursue it in your own life. Come on, you can lay hands on the sick and see them healed, see. You don't have to, it's not about praying for the sick, it's about you imparting the anointing. See, you just, every time you lay hands on people, something shifts, something breaks. That's why I keep coming back to people, because I know often it's progressive. The Bible talks about working of miracles. You've got to work miracles. You've got to do the works of Jesus. You've got to, they don't happen, you've got to work them, see. And sometimes in the transcript of Scripture, we lose sight of the time element, when people like the 10 lepers, they got healed as they went. They weren't just healed there. You know, Jesus was a blind guy. He ministered to him twice before he could see clearly. I reckon, you know, people have said to me, well, you know, Jesus only prayed once. I said, well, I'm not Jesus, and I'm doing the best I know how. But unless some people are getting healed and people are getting set free, come on, somebody. Amen. And I just want to kind of encourage you this afternoon and say, that's what God has for you.
Amen.
Has for you. And I want you just to, let's just close your eyes for a moment. Let's just shut in with the Lord. Just for a moment. Holy Spirit, I pray that you right now would just begin to paint pictures in people's imagination. People getting out of wheelchairs. People leaving their crutches and walkers in the church because they don't need them anymore. People coming because the doctors have said nothing more we can do. And somebody says to them, I know where there's a bunch of people that know how to pray and how to believe God. You just need to go to Grow Church in St. Albans. Go to Grow Church in Digger's Rest. They'll minister to you there. Heaven on earth. So. Get in that picture. People coming, committing their lives to Jesus because there's such a presence in the place. And people have been praying and believing God. People are drawn. They don't even know why they're drawn. People are invited. But when they're invited, they commit their lives to Christ because there's something in the atmosphere that brings conviction. That they begin to realize that Jesus loves them, that God loves them. So there's that transformation of lives, just a stream of people coming into the house. Come on, somebody. A stream of people. Because you're praying, believing, you're seeing it, you're calling it in. Amen. Right here across the Digger's Rest, as people come into town, the presence of God begins to settle on their home because somebody's looking in the window and speaking peace and releasing the presence of God over their life and changing the spiritual atmosphere. And so suddenly they find themselves becoming open to the things of God, thinking thoughts they never thought, wondering about things that have never entered their head before, because the Spirit of God is poured out on all flesh, not just the flesh of the church. People are praying and believing. right now. See, Holy Spirit wants to just impress those kind of things on your heart, on your mind. But Father, I pray today that you would just seal it in the hearts of my friends. That God, you would give Pastor Chris and the leadership, God, just wisdom for every decision they need to make. I pray that you would begin to bring insight and understanding beyond the natural, that revelation begin to flow of the steps they could take to see a whole new season just break open in this church. Father, I pray that as they begin to pray and seek you, God, I pray for a powerful anointing to come upon the church for prayer and intercession and breakthrough over this season, Lord, that the powers of darkness will be driven back, that the hold of spirits that would come to restrict and limit would be broken, and that your purposes would go forward so powerfully, Lord, your kingdom come, heaven invading earth, heaven invading earth in Jesus' name, in a powerful way. But Father, thank you. Thank you for my friends here this afternoon. I pray that you would seal in their hearts those things that are particularly relevant and pertinent to them as individuals and corporately as a church. And I just speak your blessing over them this afternoon in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And I know time is gone, but you know, if you need ministry this afternoon, wants to minister, we're happy to do that. But I'm just going to hand back to Pastor Chris. Thank you, Pastor.